Sign number 25, Bible believers will understand what is taking place. We now come to our last sign of the end, which basically sums up what we have been saying in this book. Simply put, we can understand what is taking place in the world today because the Lord has told us these things ahead of time. We can make the following observations. The first point, we are commanded to examine the evidence. To begin with, Scripture encourages people to think, to examine the evidence. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "But test everything that is said, hold on to what is good." That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Testing involves using our minds, weighing the evidence. Another New Testament writer, John, put it this way, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." That's 1 John 4:1. Now, how do we test the spirits? We do it by thinking, by using our minds. The Apostle Paul encouraged the church of Corinth to judge as sensible people the things that he said. In 1 Corinthians 10:15, we read this, "You are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I am about to say is true." That's 1 Corinthians 10:15. Now notice that Paul called them reasonable people who could make their own decisions. To sum up, we have the famous words of Jesus in Matthew 22:37. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Matthew 22:37. We are indeed to love the Lord with all of our mind. The Bible, therefore, encourages thinking, investigating the facts, and then weighing and evaluating the evidence. Now, our next heading is, Scripture says that we can know the truth of prophecy. So along this line of investigating the evidence, we find that in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, there's a conversation between Daniel and a supernatural being. One of the things that the prophet learns is that our knowledge about these, quote, events of the last days will increase as we get closer to the time of the end. Here's what Daniel 12:4 says, "But you, Daniel, close up these words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will dash about and knowledge will increase." Daniel 12:4. Now, this is a specific prediction about the time of the end and the understanding of Bible prophecy. Indeed, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the knowledge and the understanding of certain aspects of Bible prophecy will become clearer and clearer. And this is precisely what we have discovered in our study. Certain things that did not seem to make sense to commentators in the past have now become clear to us. This will continue to be true as we approach the time when these predicted events will take place. Furthermore, in the same passage in Daniel chapter 12, the prophet Daniel, though he himself did not understand what these things meant, was explicitly told that at the time of the end, the wise will indeed understand what is taking place. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 to 10 reads as follows. This is Daniel speaking. "I heard, but I did not understand. So I said, 'Sir, what will happen after these things?' He said, 'Go, Daniel, for these matters are closed and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made clean and refined, but the wicked will go on being wicked. None of the wicked will understand, though the wise will understand.'" Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Now, we should not miss this promise of Scripture. The wise will understand. And who are the wise? Well, it's those who take the Word of God and the subject of Bible prophecy seriously. Bible commentator John Gill, writing in the 1700s, made the following astute observations about this passage in Daniel. Quote, "That is, toward the end of the time appointed, many persons will be stirred up to inquire into these things delivered in this book, and will spare no pains or cost to get knowledge of them, will read and study the Scriptures, and meditate on them, compare one passage with another, spiritual things with spiritual, in order to obtain the mind of Christ, will peruse carefully the writings of such who have gone before them, who have attempted anything of this kind and will go far and near to converse with persons that have any understanding of such things. And by such means, with the blessing of God upon them, the knowledge of this book of prophecy will be increased, and things will appear plainer the nearer the accomplishment of them is, and especially when accomplished, when prophecy and facts can be compared together, and not only this kind of knowledge, but knowledge of all spiritual things, of all evangelistic truth and doctrines, will be abundantly enlarged at this time, and the earth will be filled and covered with it, as the sea with its waters." Close quote. Now, this could not have been said any better in our present day. About 100 years before John Gill, another writer named Increase Mather wrote something similar. Here's what he said. Quote, "The angel Gabriel commanded Daniel to shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, which shows that this prophecy, though it be obscure before, yet when the time for the accomplishment of it approacheth, many shall be stirred up to inquire with all diligence into the meaning, and the promise of their encouragement so to do, that knowledge shall be increased, that is, by the assistance and blessing of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who alone is worthy to open the sealed book." Close quote. That's a man named Increase Mather, and he wrote that in the year 1669. So, John Gill wrote over 250 years ago, Increase Mather wrote over 350 years ago. Amazingly, based upon this scripture, each predicted the same thing. Note, as humanity gets closer to the time of the end, Bible prophecy will become more understandable for those who diligently search the scriptures with the assistance and the blessing of the Lord. Now, we also have the promise of Jesus. He made a similar promise about his own teachings, and the Gospel of John records that in John chapter 7, verse 17. Listen to what the Lord said. "If anyone wants to know God's will, he will know about my teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own authority." That's John 7, 17. Now, note that the Lord said anybody who wants to know can know whether or not he speaks for God. Consequently, they can know the truth. The Lord Jesus elsewhere said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's John 8:32. Very famous statement, and this indeed is a promise of God. So to sum up, the Bible makes it plain that those who want to know the truth will indeed know it. Specifically, when it comes to the understanding of Bible prophecy in the last days, we can know the truth. Now, let's go back to the key to Bible prophecy, the Jew. As we have seen in our previous 24 signs of the end, if we wish to know God's plan for the world for time and eternity, it is absolutely imperative that we look at the Jews. This includes Jesus, the Messiah of the Jews, as well as the history of the Jewish people. In the early part of the 19th century, A.H. McNeil explained it well. Here's what he said, quote, "Of this universally pervading but hitherto invisible kingdom of God, an outward and visible index has been given to the world in the history of the Jewish nation. From the page of that history, as from a bright reflector, we learn the great principles of God's management in the history of the Jewish nation. First, the person, character, and ministry of Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, who himself was a Jew. And secondly, the history of the Jewish nation, to whom Jehovah says, 'Ye are my witnesses.'" In turning our attention to the Jews, then we are not merely gratifying an historical, prophetical, or intellectual curiosity, but if we look aright, we are putting into operation upon our souls God's own manifested witness for himself unto our knowledge of him, which is life eternal. Close quote. Well, eternal life is indeed found in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must always look to him for the answers as to the meaning of life. And furthermore, the Lord has continually provided a living, objective witness to the truthfulness of his word, namely the Jew. So to sum up, God wants us to know the truth about himself. Now, this next point is crucial. Christianity has replaced God's previous revelation. This point is very important to understand. While the religion revealed in the Old Testament was, in fact, God's word to the human race, it has been superseded by the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This is essential for us to understand. Again, we will cite the 19th century Bible scholar A.H. McNeil. Quote, "This was the true religion, as then revealed in the wisdom of the living God, and the enjoyment of it issued in true salvation. But all this has long since ceased. That which was then future and foreordained has since become actually performed. The substance of all this is Christ, the miraculous rending of the veil in the temple, when Jesus expired on the cross, was God's own sentence of abrogation upon ancient Judaism as well. The destruction of the temple itself and the holy city completed the manifestation of Jehovah's purpose regarding ancient Judaism. He took away the type that he might establish the antitype. He took away the sign that he might establish the thing signified. He took away a dispensation consisting of significant promises, superseding it by a dispensation based upon actual performances. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for sin he would no longer have, but the all-sufficient sacrifice of the death of Jesus Christ once offered. Ancient Judaism, therefore, which was the truth of God then, merged into Christianity, which has been and is the truth of God forever." Close quote. Since the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming has fulfilled what the Old Testament was pointing to, namely the temple, the sacrifices, and the rituals, well, they're no longer necessary. Indeed, only Jesus Christ is necessary. So in reality, the issue boils down to when Jesus came the first time. He lived a perfect life, died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, rose from the dead, and then ascended into heaven. Today, Jesus is our high priest, the one who intercedes to God the Father on behalf of believers. At some time in the future, that is known only to the Lord, he will come again for those who have believed in him. This has been the hope of Christians for the last 2,000 years. Well, eventually, every human being will stand before him. Those who have believed in Jesus will experience eternal life in his presence, while those who have rejected him will spend eternity apart from him. The good news is that we have been told that we can know that we have eternal life. John explained it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Here is what he wrote. "The one who has the Son has this eternal life. The one who does not have the Son does not have this eternal life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Now this is the good news. If one believes in Jesus Christ, they can know that they have eternal life. So we conclude our signs of the end by asking the reader this question. Do you know that you have eternal life?